Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
It's so New York. It's so very, very New York.
Yeah, and code word, Mike.
Translation Jew. Yeah, it's very New York.
Well, why is this guy all by himself in that park anyway, yeah, which is designed for like 10 and under? That's exactly what it is.
Disagree. There is an AFOL community that is large.
What community?
AFOL.
What's that?
Adult fan of Lego.
Okay.
That is present.
No. There's really a term for that?
Oh, yeah.
AFOL?
I think it's pretty
common.
Okay,
that's going off. That's the alarm.
My career is walking the tightrope in between early morning children's programming and hardcore porn.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This episode of the Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by the TMOS Holiday Shopping Center. It's the most important way to support the Mike O'Mara Show, especially during the holidays. The next time you need to buy that special gift from Target.com, Walmart.com, or Macy's.com, make sure you click the shopping banner on our website. Then shop like you normally would. It's that simple. And happy holidays from everybody at the Mike O'Mara Show.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeOMaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
We are very excited on the Mike O'Mara Show. Coming up in just a few minutes here, we are going to speak to a very unique comedian, a man who spearheaded the movement of putting the Christ back in Christmas. a man known as the Christian comic.
Yes.
Mike,
he prefers faith-based
comic, yes. Fresh from his stand-up gig at Liberty University. No, of course not. We have Gilbert Gottfried coming up shortly on the Mike O'Mara Show. So that will be something to look forward to. I would like to give you my annual tribute to NyQuil.
Great. NyQuil. It's a great elixir.
Now, yesterday I talked about melatonin, where Carla had me take this little pill, or maybe I didn't get
to. No, you mentioned it in the pre-show.
So Carla's into this melatonin, which is a sleep aid, and I took one, and early, maybe even before 9 o'clock, I got super, super sleepy, and then went right to bed, and then woke up at midnight, fully awake. Like 12:30, fully awake, was up till 2:30. Yesterday, I was goofy tired all day long because of that. I think anyone, by the way, as far as being fatigued.
Yes.
If you're a connoisseur of the show Political Persuasions, let me remind you that this episode, Oscar, which you weren't around, Rob and I were around for it. Oscar, this episode of Political Persuasions will be one you really don't want to miss. Yes.
Spicy.
I like to think that during the show yesterday, I controlled myself a little bit. I didn't.
You
didn't
think that, do you?
Well, at the beginning of the show, I was very borderline full nuclear. And then, as the show continued, as it's often wont to do, it's my therapy, and it ended up being a very festive, fun, kind of Christmassy show.
Oscar, there used to be a show called Mission Impossible. In the opening sequence, there was a long fuse burning, and it took forever. But you definitely knew when it started.
Freights and I go toe-to-toe, screaming at each other. Did we edit out the profanity yesterday?
We bleeped it.
We bleeped the profanity.
I knew something had gone off script, if you will, the first comment on the Political Persuasions Facebook page that I witnessed in, I would say, the late afternoon.
Oh, God.
Sure.
Said, Mike, please less F-bombs, more facts.
All I know is this.
Yeah, they heard it. Yep, they heard it. That's for sure.
As the Imagineer.
He said the F-bomb first.
He did.
He said it first.
You know what? He had a shorter fuse than you. But
he did.
You know what?
He was cranky,
you
wasn't
know what he?
He
was? He was the dynamite cap, but you were the dynamite.
Yeah, yeah. I went full irrational.
All I know is that when I do the show, I can see Maddie in the control room, and right? I've never seen her eyebrows that high.
We can talk about all that later. Right now, please, our favorite Christian faith-based comic, fresh from Liberty University, where he not only offers stand-up comedy, but then he lectures the students on what it is to walk in one with Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome. I don't know what I'm doing. Please welcome. He's here.
Mr. Christmas.
Mr. Christmas himself. Gilbert Gottfried. Hi, Gilbert. How are you?
Hi.
How are you?
Yeah. Well, that's all I have to say.
Yeah. I'm so in the mood for you right now. Yes, the man who the television show The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel was based on, even though she's a woman, Gilbert Gottfried. Gilbert, I don't know. I know you've been on that show, but I think about you every time. It is my favorite television show. I just love it. It's so New York. It's so very, very New York.
Yeah, and code word, Mike.
Translation Jew. It's very New York. Kind of like, that was a favorite catchphrase for anti-Semites. Oh, he seems like one of those New York types.
A New York comic.
Yeah, New York comic. You know,
that's probably,
hey,
you know.
You're charging a lot at this store. What are you, a New Yorker?
You're killing me. Oh, God,
don't,
that is so true.
Don't lend that guy any money. He's a regular New Yorker.
My wife, we're watching Mrs. Maisel, our favorite television program, and when they do the whole thing at the Catskills, Carla leans over to me and says, I wish I was Jewish. I really wish I was. I have no frame of reference.
She doesn't know any better.
I will tell you, it's just so, watching them at the resort, at Steiner Resort up there. And I know you've been on this show. Do you, Gilbert, do you consume the show too? Do you watch The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel?
I have. My favorite was the one I was on.
Of course.
It's so incredible when they're up there and to experience that. I thought about those resorts. I was talking with Rob with it before we came on the air, and how much entertainment there really was. The food, everything seemed to be taken care of. Those great resorts in the Catskills that are now almost all gone, right? They're all abandoned, I think, Rob. That's what they are.
Gilbert, did your family ever go to any of the resorts in the Catskills?
I don't remember ever going to any of the resorts. Maybe at best we rented a bungalow somewhere, but none of those, like the Neville and all those places.
Grossinger's, yeah.
I once worked in Neville. I mean, I did one show there and bombed severely.
Well, it's great to have you on. How are you doing? How is the world of Gilbert? Is everything good? Everything good in your world?
Yeah. Okay, bye.
It's good to have you on, Gilbert. We love to have you on, and I don't know. I've been thinking about you. I think about Gilbert probably more than I really should.
That's
thing. Is it a holiday
thing? I think it is.
Why would I think about him during the holidays?
Well, when you think of the birth of our Lord, yeah, to think Gilbert Gottfried just goes perfectly.
Oh, God. You know, I can't get by it now when you said, yes, New Yorker, anti-Semite means Jew.
Yeah,
oh, no.
Of course. Gilbert, I want to ask you a question about your podcast. First thing, do you ever just want to reach over and slap Frank Santo Padre for over prepping for an interview?
Is that his partner on the podcast?
That's his partner on the podcast.
Oh, my God, yeah. Yeah, he's got like 5,000 cards with like stuff written, and I'm after a while, I'm the opposite. Like, I'll go in, and there's a guest there, and I'll go, What do you do exactly?
Well, I'll say this is when your podcast drops, it's a go-to to me. It's at the front of my queue always. It's Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast, and I have to
say, in front of your queue should be the Mike O'Mara show.
Well, Mike, I lived it.
I mean, if you're talking about the front of your queue,
he likes the show he's on.
Goddamn money.
He likes the show he's on.
But, I like Gilbert well enough, but
you know. But I have to compliment you. Your interview that I think it posted last week, you did an hour and a half or so with Alan Alda. That was fantastic. Do you ever just sort of step outside of the studio and sort of look in and say, oh my God, I'm talking to Hawkeye Pierce, Is it weird when you talk to someone that is such an icon like that and you get to spend that much time with them?
Sometimes I'll wake up and I'll think, oh, wait a second, look who I'm talking to here. I got that way like Bruce Dern was on the show, and you think all these movies so you've seen them in.
Oh, God, you interviewed Bruce Dern. I am so jealous. That what a combination of human beings. You and how long did you talk to Bruce Dern for?
Oh, for like an hour, hour and a half.
Well, I guess Gilbert wants a sandwich. You want a sandwich, Gilbert? Yes. I guess Gilbert's going to fuck. By the way.
By the way, my only Bruce Dern is the Great Gatsby.
Right, yeah.
Bruce Dern. That's the only one.
Well, Mr. Gatsby wants to go into the city.
That's all I have. That's the only reference I have. Hey, I want to point out, and you correct me if I miss anything that you're on. You've got the podcast. You're also on the Netflix special with Dave Attell and Jeff Ross, Bumping Mics, where do you find now that you're treated a little bit like the elder statesman of comedy, where these guys, because everybody likes to bust Gilbert's balls,
right.
but I'm sensing, like, especially on that Netflix special, there's a reverence, Gilbert, that people revere you. Do you get that sense?
That's a scary thing if it happens, because there are those comics that, you know, start going on shows and feel like they don't have to tell jokes anymore. They just have to show how much experience and how much they know. That happens to a lot of comics.
Well, let me tell you this, that if you're worried, and I know you're not because of what you do, I'm saying that they revere you, but then, and I can't say it on this particular podcast, but then Gilbert tells a joke. And when Gilbert, and let me tell you, there's no way that anyone that tells this joke will be considered an elder statesman. And there is no network television show that you will be able to go on and tell that joke. And all I will tell you is the joke involves a grandmother. That's it. I'm not saying anything else. But and also, Gilbert,
I'm going to be telling that joke to Kelly Ripa on her show.
Oh God.
Oh my God, I would pay. I'd get a front row ticket to see you tell that particular joke. That is, there's something about you. You get up there and you've been doing this for so long, and the fearlessness, because you see, Gilbert, you walk up on stage, and we all know the voice and we all that, but I don't know if people that haven't seen you perform live in your stand-up just realize how incredibly filthy you are, Gilbert Gottfried.
And it can come out of nowhere, because you'll do, two or three minutes of puns and family friendly stuff, and then all of a sudden he's with grandma again, and that's not okay.
Right.
My career is walking the tightrope in between early morning children's programming and hardcore porn.
he's an enigma wrapped in real. Oscar, I know you wanted to ask something.
Gilbert, I wanted to ask you, we have you for, X amount of minutes. I want to make sure I ask you this, because it really, for some time now, I've been following the trajectory of your podcast and the success and the staying power. And here on the show, we're about to celebrate our 10-year anniversary next year.
Clapping, Gilbert? Are you clapping wherever you are? Okay, thank you.
And during that time, you really have to think about, wow, how many shows have really succeeded in this medium and continue to grow? And you have one of those programs that is part of that small member club that's exclusive, that says, okay, they're going to be here for a while. I feel, and I can't speak for you, but for us, that we have the freedom to do what we want on this program the way we want it. You probably have that same feeling, but I can't speak for you. I wanted to ask you, do you feel that freedom on your podcast to be yourself without being judged as much as we're all judged on terrestrial radio overall?
A little bit more, but not as obscene as I want to be.
That's fair.
I imagine it's dependent on the guest.
Yeah. No, it is a lot more freedom that, you know, you're not answering to, like, a director or a producer or something.
Right. Is there anything that you want to do right now? I mean, obviously, you've got the stand-up. You've got the podcast. You know, you've been... There's a little Gilbert in so many areas of show business. Is there anything that you want to do now? You know, is there anything in the pipeline, or is it primarily always going to be the stand up for you? Because I mean, you know, you've done so much. You've been in this business a long time. How, you know, where do you see yourself being in 10 years? Hopefully a lot.
I think I'll be the next Spider-Man. I mean, by then it'll be hard to put the tights over me, but
no, I don't think so. I think you're a thin guy. It'll be
CGI.
All right.
Well, Gilbert, I want to ask you a question. You've been at it since you're 15, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, you have been through it all, and now this new generation of comics. It seems like anyone that can string four jokes together gets a Netflix special. How does that make you feel that there are now so many more outlets for comics to find their way to the big time? Are you jealous? Do you think it's good for the business? How do you react to that?
I feel like the exact second I thought I had a vague idea of how show business worked, it all changed. Like, I still think in terms of movies and television, and it's like those seem like totally like talking about vaudeville now.
Yeah, I mean, anybody can do it. It can happen overnight to any human being. There is no, you know, break out in the comedy clubs, get yourself a sitcom, maybe get a movie. Now, you know, we've got in the news later on today, we've got the wealthiest people in show business. It starts with George Lucas and ends with Kylie Jenner, which is phenomenal to me. I mean, it's just... Anybody can do it. I don't know. The rules don't apply anymore, don't you think?
Yeah, and when people say to me, you know, star, I always think, well, you know, Julia Roberts and Tom Cruise are stars, but there are people on the internet, like, you know, 14-year-olds showing how to, like, squeeze a blackhead or something. And there's 20 billion people watching them, and if they get booked somewhere, there'll be crowds trying to get in.
I think what we should do is take one of those resorts and rebuild it and make it a comedy resort up there, like one of the Mrs. Man. I don't know why I'm so obsessed with that show.
Well, let's put everything together, Mike. Let's reopen Grossinger's and let's have Julia Roberts squeezing blackheads.
That's fantastic. One show only, Saturday night. Gilbert, where are you off to? Is there anything you want to plug before we let you go? We always appreciate you coming on.
My website is gilbertgottfried.com, and now I'm selling my own T-shirts on there because I'm a New Yorker.
And Gilbert, I'm going to do it.
I can squeeze a penny. I'm a New Yorker.
All right, here we go. The luxury we have in post-production on the Mike O'Mara Show is that we can edit in post, and I'm hoping we don't. Gilbert, tell any joke you want. No restrictions.
Yes.
Do not think about censorship, but you know, I know you're capable of this. I know you've got them in your duffel bag. Tell us any joke you want. Doesn't matter how dirty it is. We will let you go with that. Lay it on us, Gilbert Gottfried. Please do.
Okay. A little boy says to his mother, he goes, Mom, where do babies come from? And the mother says, well, a stork brings them. And the little boy goes, who f***s the stork?
You have not. That is like a Christmas present for me, Gilbert Gottfried. Thank you. God bless you. Gilbert, enjoy the holidays and come back on anytime. And we love you and have a wonderful season. Okay, Gilbert?
Thank you, Gilbert.
That'll be
perfect.
One bleep.
That was perfect.
That'll be one bleep.
That's and all also we have something, to do. Something we can all tell at a Christmas party this year.
That's fantastic. Perfect. Start the goddamn show, Rod Spiewak.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
All right, now. What seems to be your trouble?
I feel depressed. I know I should be happy, but I'm not.
Well, as they say on TV, the mere fact that you realize you need help indicates that you are not too far gone. I think we better pinpoint your fears. If we can find out what you're afraid of, we can label it. Are you afraid of responsibility? If you are, then you have hypangeophobia.
I don't think that's quite it.
How about cats? If you're afraid of cats, you have aleurophasia.
Well, sort of, but I'm not sure.
Are you afraid of staircases? If you are, then you have climacophobia. Maybe you have thalassophobia. This is fear of the ocean. Or gerophobia, which is the fear of crossing bridges. Or maybe you have pantophobia. Do you think you have pantophobia?
What's pantophobia?
The fear of everything.
That's it!
Actually, Lucy, my trouble is Christmas. I just don't understand it. Instead of feeling happy, I feel sort of let down.
Incidentally, I know how you feel about all this Christmas business. Getting depressed and all that. It happens to me every year. I never get what I really want. I always get a lot of stupid toys or a bicycle or clothes or something like that.
What is it you want?
Real estate.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana.
And now, from his easy chair, here's Mike.
Called Skating, Mike. The song is called Skating.
We're live from the Podcast Village Studios in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. This is the Mike O'Mara Show. We are a worldwide podcast and radio show with a family of listeners. They are unrivaled in their love and support for their program. If you're a first-timer, sit back, relax, and prepare to be entertained. And for our longtime friends, thank you from the bottom of our hearts for spreading the word every day about TMOS. From Burlington, Vermont to Burlington, Iowa, from Toad Suck, Arkansas to Intercourse, Pennsylvania, from Prague to Portugal, the Mike O'Mara Show is on now. I have refrained from going online and saying, send me your town names, but I'll say it on this podcast. You can PM me and let me know if your town wants to be on it, because I actually printed up these openings.
Yes.
You see? And you see these right here, these sure. little blank lines here?
Yeah.
I've got it right in there.
Oh, it's like so a Mad Lib.
So I can fill it in, and I'll probably do it, not daily, but I'll do it weekly, like I have with this, and I'll pop that in there. We're almost at the end of a full week. I think I've done it about Wednesday to Wednesday, and you can send me your town, and I'd love to plug your town where you're listening. Doesn't matter how small it is. As a matter of fact, Toad Suck, Arkansas, the smaller, the better.
I agree.
Please go ahead and do that. Our show today brought to you by Zappos. It's that time of year. We all think about family and friends, and nobody has been a better friend to TMOS than Zappos.com. Zappos rolled out the red carpet when they hosted TMOS Live in Las Vegas, and they treated all of our listeners like gold, Jerry.
Like gold, Jerry.
Woo! Zappos treats everybody like a dear old friend with their legendary customer service. There is none better. If you want to talk about friendly, for a limited time, Zappos.com is offering all of their TMOS friends 15% off their purchase. Oscar was talking about it yesterday.
Perfect.
If you use that code TMOS at checkout, it's a win-win. Zappos.com offers all of the latest and greatest footwear, apparel, handbags, and accessories. Thanks to over 1,000 trusted brand names, Zappos.com is able to help millions of customers create long-lasting wardrobes that they love. As always, Zappos.com provides fast, free shipping, free and easy returns, 24/7 friendly customer service, and a 365-day return policy. Zappos.com. We love them. You're going to love them as well. And I will tell that joke, I'm going to guess, 20 times. Let me tell you why that joke works for me.
Okay.
The simplicity of it. Let me see if I've got it right.
Yeah.
Boy goes, ask the, how does it, how's it
go? A little boy goes to his mom.
A little boy goes to his mom, says, Mom, where do babies come from? And she says, well, that's the easy, son. They come from the stork. And then the baby says, the son says, well, who?
The stork. Yeah, exactly.
Thank you.
You know what?
Thank
it's the thing
much.
That
that's
I loved about
bad,
it.
That's how bad a joke teller I am.
Well,
he told it 2 minutes ago, and I've already forgotten it.
You got to soft sell it.
What I love about it is that it's got the setup of a longer joke.
Yes.
But right. It actually has got the length of a riddle. So it really, it's a good gut punch joke. I love
it. I've never seen, have you seen Gilbert stand up? I think he is
I never have.
I think he's a joke teller.
Oh,
I think he is. That is a lot of the cornerstone of his act, I believe. But it's a,
and he still does impressions of people from the 1930s.
He sounds like he's from the 1950s resort that we were talking about.
Perfect for Maisel.
And, but the thing is, that is exactly what I was doing. Was you're very New York. That is cold anti-Semite, say Jew. That is exactly what Gilbert's about. I want to tell everybody that at the end of this week, we are going to be taking our holiday break.
Yes.
And I can assure you that when we come back from the holiday, that I will have something to share with you, because I have broken down as of last night and I have made the arrangements and it is official. We are actually going to experience Florida at its finest and take my son to a theme park.
Hey, good for you.
Yeah, it's
big theme
after
park.
All these years yelling and beating that drum, never go during Christmas or New Year's.
It's a good time to go, Mike, because no one goes during the holidays.
Now, hold on. We are going to be going. We are off from Friday, and then 2 weeks later we come back the following Monday. So we are having
a short two weeks.
A short two. I don't care. We're going for 2 weeks.
Yeah, you know, 2 weeks.
You know, lick balls if you don't like that. All right.
Most businesses are coming back.
He's referring to the ones you hang on your Christmas tree.
Christmas sweaty
Thank
balls,
you for clarifying.
like
Thank
Christmas.
You. Appreciate that.
But here, what I'm doing is, yes. you know, we do not celebrate New Year's Eve like other people celebrate.
I hate it
New
too.
Year's Eve.
I hate it.
We don't.
You've
go
never.
Out.
You said it was amateur hour.
Amateur night, and we will be leaving crack of dawn New Year's Day. Mm. We will be checking in New Year's Day when everybody is going to be checking out, and then we will be experiencing the park
You're
on January 2nd.
Gaming the system.
He's
I'm
not.
Hoping.
He's not.
No, actually, you know what?
This is the wrong week to do it.
If he has to do it during the holidays.
It's the middle of the week. Everyone's going back to work that following Monday.
If he has to do it during the holidays, he's doing it smart.
You're effed.
No, I think you're going to do great.
Jammed. It's going to be jammed.
Then
absolutely
how come
jammed.
I was able to get the reservation so easily?
Well, why wouldn't people want to take your money? Why wouldn't they want to take your money, Mike?
Because they would. Hello, Mr. Argument. Because the hotel is sold out, which it wasn't.
You're not. Let's be clear. You're not going to what people would think is your prototypical Orlando type of. Or a type of
and
amusement.
I'm going to Legoland.
And I
yeah,
hate
don't care who knows.
I don't want to be devil's advocate.
That's not the Disney
here.
Fan.
Stalk me. I'm fine.
That's
I'll be like Rob. Buy me a friggin' turkey leg.
I don't want to be a devil's advocate here, but Oscar has a point, because when they sell that hotel out at Legoland, they just build another room.
They're constantly building.
I need
and
some
then they're
white
breaking
ones
it down
over here.
Then they tear it apart. They build it in a different way.
Exactly. Exactly.
Wow. We need a new wing over here. The mayors
right,
are coming.
Oscar, there is an add-on that they do it for Legoland, which is a front of the line add-on.
Oh,
yeah. I did not purchase it because I thought it wouldn't be worth it.
Now, I have a question.
But it's too expensive even if it's...
What are we talking? Let's talk real dollars.
A front of the line thing where you pay
like a fast
to
pass.
Go to the front of a fast pass.
So an extra $400
per
person?
What? No.
Per person?
No, I imagine it would probably double the cost of your entry to the park. Is that about right?
I got hotel and tickets to the park. I got a package.
Okay. And you're a Florida resident. You're a Florida
Yay.
Resident, so you technically should have a discount.
In-state rates.
No, I don't think so.
Does Disney do that?
Disney does that.
Okay, so I've done the Disney experience. I've done the Busch Gardens
Legoland.
Experience. Of course,
let me explain something about Disney. I'm going to talk about Disney for a second.
Okay, all right,
Disney,
please.
Disney doesn't do anything that's a legitimate discount.
Of course
period.
Not. They don't. You know what? They're the Apple.
Florida.
They're
anything.
The Apple of theme parks. They don't go
right.
on sale.
They don't sell anything at a Disney.
But that's the way Walt wanted it. By the way, Walt hated New Yorkers. Did you know that?
Stop it.
Question.
That's terrible.
What the hell is that?
Legendary.
He's saying that Walt Disney was a Nazi.
All right.
My question is this, though. I've done the King's Dominion thing. I've never done a Lego property. Do they offer rides? Is it all like experience stuff? What is it? What's it like?
You don't just go there and build.
I don't know. I saw a video. I watched a video.
That's a good video.
The theme park. And by the way, when you're talking about YouTube videos that have everything, they go from you know, how to build a cabinet to how to wash your car to do anything, you know, but the thing that I have now learned what I cherish on a YouTube video. And what I cherish is quality production values, which means a steady camera. And what is absolutely superfluous and unnecessary in a YouTube video showing something is narration. Okay,
yeah, you don't need it.
Idiots. Okay, big talkers thinking you're the next Dan Rather. You're not. Shut up and just put a nice little music. And even the music bed's not necessary. Just show the different attractions.
Just a silent
like if you
picture?
Want to,
yeah.
What's that?
The silent
not
picture?
A silent. No, you can actually show it, have an audio. What's the matter? What's with him today?
I don't know.
What is with him today?
He's been that way all week.
He's been a scab picker.
This is logic. Yeah. I'm just asking you questions.
Like, no.
If you don't have sound or music, then you have silence.
No. If you're here, let me give you an example, all right? Let's say we're talking about the Lego park and the video that I skipped right by because I wasn't going to listen to this douche.
Okay.
Okay? So the guy comes on and goes, hey, Lego Man, Legoland Larry here. Well, you might have remembered my last video. And I'm like, F you. Goodbye.
Is this
you're
the
not
video?
Famous. I don't care. And then but hold on, Rob. I'm telling you, trying to explain myself here. So the Legoland dude, which he called himself, a grown man, which, you know, immediately, you know, the perv button goes off because I'm sitting there going, well, why is this guy all by himself in that park anyway,
yeah,
which is designed for like 10 and under. That's exactly what it
is. Disagree. There is an AFOL community that is large.
What community?
AFOL.
What's that?
Adult fan of Lego.
Okay.
That is present.
No. There's really a term for that?
Oh, yeah.
AFOL?
I think it's pretty common.
Okay, that's going off. That's the alarm going off now.
I'm friends with AFOLs. Like, they will build complex Lego.
A raging AFOL.
Is this on your gaming thing when you do your Minecraft
well,
and all that?
Well, there was a time,
there's a land of the sick right there.
Four or five years ago where...
I don't spend all my time online. Sometimes I'm playing with Legos.
Lego Larry here. I'm going to show you the best things about the park that we have
I'm an
here.
Adult fan of Lego, a.k.a.
I'm an
AFOL.
And I love the way they give it an acronym so it doesn't sound pervy.
Yeah, and you tried to slide by
adult
pretty quick.
Adult fans of Lego.
Yeah.
Is it the product or is it the parks?
Well, the products and the parks go hand in hand. They're brand extensions of each other. The products, and really for AFOLs, this is their hedonism too, where if you go to Legoland... in Florida or LA, depending on where you go, different builds are on display.
That's right. Some of them with rounded corners.
Yeah, well,
which
I saw
is important.
That. And Mike, by the way, what did you say? I missed
some
that one.
Some of them with rounded corners, which is important for the real intense AFOLs.
Hey, I will tell you this, that my kid loves the cities. That are
oh,
built.
Yeah.
So he's all about the new, because they have Florida City and stuff. So, he loves the construction of Legos.
The video you were talking about with Lego Larry, does it open with a shot of like the park?
No, it often opens with a shot of him with the park in
It might be this one. Is this the guy?
Six days left for Christmas shopping.
Hi there. The Christmas shopping days are clicking off. Only six days left.
Clicking off.
So you better hurry, hurry, hurry.
You know what? He was an AFOB, an adult fan of bourbon.
that guy, if you talk or if you... Another thing that I hate is when you have a high-powered heavy metal soundtrack.
Oh, I hate that.
Oh, that's
for example, I'm a connoisseur. I love the YouTube. I really do. There's just so much information you get. But there's also, if you're really bored, you can do a deep dive and find out. I like my inner violent nature. I like hockey fights. Right?
Sure.
So I like watching hockey fights.
You've watched those for years.
Yeah, I will not watch hockey fights when it comes on with... It's like,
Master Puppets.
I don't need that. You don't need to enhance a hockey fight.
You're right.
You need what's great is if you get hockey fights with a play-by-play.
Here
but getting back
comes
to the park,
Butters.
So and now Smith wants a piece of Butters. Now Smith he spills Butters. Right hands by Kurt Brackenberry. Well, now Brackenberry and Selwood want to go, and there they go.
Mike,
you know what? Can I play that today?
I'll play it today.
Find it and I'll play it in the next break.
Oh,
can
I think that'd be great.
The greatest play-by-play of a fight that you've ever heard.
I'm sure I have it too, though.
If you have it, you find it while I'm talking. And if we have it, we can play it the next break. But getting back to the videos, Oscar. So after I booked the hotel and I booked the, which includes the parts, like one-stop shop. And there's the really, really nice hotel, which is, you know, made out of Legos or whatever. But it's double what the other stuff is. So I go to the second tier one, which is the motel. Right. And so I'm like, well, I want to take the family there. And then I said, well, let's see what the park has to offer. And I try to get a view. I go to the guy that's like, hey, Lego man back here. You might have remembered last year when I did my tour of the park. And I was like, okay, I hate you already, and I don't want to hear about you. And then two or three into it, I get this beautifully photographed, almost professionally done, lovely light soundtrack.
Oh, nice.
With park noise in the background. Uh-huh. The kids laughing and giggling, showing, but the only thing they show is the outside of the attractions. So I'm desperately trying to say, can we get just a little bit more when you go
you
into the
have,
Lego Pirate
do you think
Adventure
they have,
or whatever?
Like, rules, like camera rules, like a wax museum?
Know. I'm not
also,
sure. I'm not
how
sure.
tall is little Michael?
Tall enough to probably go on like a kid's roller coaster.
It, just pro tip, because I've been through this with my niece and nephew.
Sure.
They have thicker soled sneakers to get them past a certain threshold.
Great. Just go to CardiB.com.
You're a park nerd just like he is. You're
this because my niece was going crazy before we went to one of the Disney attractions 2 years ago. And she said, I need my other sneakers. I said, those are fine. She goes, no, the thicker sole gets me past the line.
That's true.
Said, all right. That makes sense.
Yeah, because there's going to be an ambivalent teenager with a pole. So you
know,
need
you have
to be
to remember,
tall enough.
Though, you have to remember my guy is still five. And it's still he is still pliable where he can be we can basically move him in any direction we want. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
you know
good.
What I mean?
Yeah.
It's not like he likes the whole concept. But after this is where parents should all be aware of this. Carla and I last night, I bring this to Carla. I said I wanted to do something for the little guy. That's what I wanted to do. This was the idea. It's an overnight for us. It's
Does
not
he know
a week's trip.
Yet?
Yeah. Well, here's the story. So I said, should we tell him on Christmas and like, or maybe have him open a card and then read the card that we're
right.
going to Legoland? And then Carl and I, we lock it in. We get the babysitter to watch the dogs. We're set. We're locked in. I booked the hotel. And then we said, oh, let's just tell him.
Yeah.
And then you know how the parents get all excited? And so he comes out and he's like, oh, oh. He's got the croupy croup,
yeah.
Oh, oh, oh. Hey, guess where we're going to go after Christmas, not before. So what? Legoland. And he goes, oh, wow. Can I go back and watch my tune now?
Oh.
And that's when you. It's for the parents. It's
man.
Not for the. It's not for the
sick
little guy.
Burn.
Because he's
sick
five.
Burn. Yeah, he doesn't know.
Because he's five.
He doesn't
what
that
know.
Is.
Let me offer this. I feel yes. that after he goes to Legoland, he's going to know how great it was, and then the next time it's going to be very special. He doesn't know what to anticipate.
Well, that's awfully expensive for him not knowing what it is.
Well, he'll come away much. From it being very
you
happy.
You should show him a YouTube video.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not with Lego Larry or whatever the dude.
Well, you should show him that video and say, don't
yeah, he might remember the last time I was here. Blah, blah, blah.
Show him
he
that
might
video.
Remember last time when I toured the park. Yeah. Well, now, listen, if you're going to go on the ride, I'm Oscar Santana. Wear thicker sneakers. Yes, it'll allow you to get on the. Yes, sirree. And make sure you. I think it's going to be the road less traveled, Oscar.
Okay.
That's what I'm hoping. Yeah. Listen. You know what? All I can be is wrong, and if I'm wrong, I will
you
come back
always,
and I will tell
no,
you.
No, you can always upgrade your pass as well if you don't like lines.
Yeah. Do they have booze in Legoland? I haven't found that out.
Mike, what I couldn't get out earlier is I'm going this vacation to Legoland before you get there, so I can give you a full recon.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Hide something right. in the park for him that he can find.
Like a Zag Nut?
Yeah, exactly.
There's the true child. There's the true holiday child right there. He means it. He wants you to do that. We'll take a break. Did you find the fight?
I did, and I know what you can hide for him.
What?
Your letter of resignation.
Thank you.
I found it! Yay!
Well, we'll take a break when we come back. More fun and more thrills on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Oh, Christmas is only a few days away. Now, I know you got something nice for your mother, but did you remember your father? Your pop? You know, dear old dad? If not, go to the MikeOMaraShow.com website, click on the holiday shopping banner, and buy something from Macy's.com, Walmart.com, or Target.com for something really nice for dear old dad. So get a move on, or you'll be sorry. Now let's
Thank
return
you.
To the Mike O'Mara Show already in progress. Take it away, Papa.
Thank you very much, Paulie. I appreciate that.
Do you ever try to envision the environment he records those in?
I'm not sure. I think it's something screaming garage.
Yeah, I'm thinking that too.
Me, right now.
Me too.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Cornerstone. A Christmas message from Cornerstone First Financial. Santa came early this year because rates have fallen to levels that we haven't seen since summer. It's likely that the Fed will raise rates four times next year.
What?
So this is probably your last chance to get a loan rate in the mid-fours. Call Cornerstone First Financial. Call Cornerstone First Financial to get pre-approved for your new loan before rates soar higher than Santa's reindeer. Whether it's a refi or a purchase, work with the friends of TMOS. Cornerstone First Financial. The lowest rates guaranteed. Licensed in Maryland, Virginia, D.C., Georgia, Florida, and Colorado. Refinance now and skip your January payment. That's a nice bit of Yuletide cheer just in time for the holidays. Tap into your home equity, refinance, and eliminate your Christmas debt. With all the money you save each month, pay those bills and start 2019 with a clean slate.
Start.
I need new printer ink. Click their banner on our...
I really do. I need new printer.
It looks like it's disappeared. Like the ghost of copy past.
Click that banner. Call them 202-625-1221. Merry Christmas from Cornerstone First Financial. Personal attention from application to closing. All right. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. I've played this throughout the years. My dad, God rest his soul, this is how old this is. This is the World Hockey Association. And this is the... Yes.
Would you like to guess the date of the actual fight?
1975.
That's exact. April 11th, ooh, 1975. Ooh. Perfect.
1975. I was 15 years old. Was it 15? 16 years old. I was 16 years old. Prime consuming sports
yet.
With my... What's that?
You hadn't turned 16
15
yet.
Years old.
Right.
14.
Right. So
12.
Oh, shut up. God damn it.
I thought it was anyway, numbers out. No?
The World Hockey Association was a startup league that they did to compete with the NHL, and they made a go of it for a while, and they eventually merged. And this is back when the cool thing was that the New England Whalers were in Hartford, Connecticut, which was 10 minutes from my hometown. So we had a major league team 10 minutes away. We loved to go to hockey games, and my dad and I just bonded over that. There are three things we bonded on. Red Sox baseball, hockey, and Buddy Rich. Those were the three, and they're still my passions today. No, I didn't drink with him at that. Okay. I was 15. Thank you very much.
I know you were 15. That's why I said it.
So, thank you. And so the New England Whalers were in the, I believe, the playoffs, and the team they were playing in the playoffs were, listen to this name, the Minnesota Fighting Saints. I think, ooh, if you look up Minnesota Fighting Saints, that still might be a name today. But the Fighting Saints had...
Put your dukes up!
They had a goon named Bill Butters.
Right.
And there was the World Hockey Association record for penalty minutes in this particular fight. This fight lasted a very long time. Fighting back in the day was so popular in the NHL and in the WHA, the World Hockey Association, that the New England Whalers front office made a promotional 45 record. 45, for those that don't know, is a little piece of vinyl that they put. On one side was this, the theme song for the Whalers, and on the flip side was the fight and the play-by-play of the fight. Now, for purposes of setting this up, I'm going to share this with you. This fight started, like they all do, and then the benches clear, and then it's a brush fire. Everybody is getting into skirmishes. And it ends with the goalie, Al Smith, knocking out the enforcer. This schlubby goalie actually knocks down the biggest bruiser on the Minnesota Fighting Saints. So, and Nick Fatio and Jack Carlson. Jack Carlson would have been famous in Slapshot.
Yes.
They also fought, and they were the two biggest fighters on the team. And all of these... all these characters are involved in this fight, and my dad, God rest his soul, and I were at this hockey game.
Now, I have a question, because on the 45, I've seen a photograph of the 45. It's called the Brawl in the Mall. Why would they call it the Mall?
The Hartford Civic Center was in there was a mall around it.
Oh, okay. I see.
So the ice arena, was actually in a shopping mall, and then this was pre-collapse. Later on, maybe 1977, I think, We have a heavy, like, 1.5 feet of wet snow.
Yes.
And the roof of the Hartford Civic Center actually collapsed. So there's a lot of history with this building. But my dad and I were at this game, and this fight was immortalized in a record, and you have it now thanks to the magic of digital technology.
Jack Ferreira and I talked about Bill Butters, a conspicuous absentee in period number one, but the first shift he's out there drawing a minor penalty, Larry, and throwing some punches at Larry Plow.
Larry Plow went after him, too, and that gives you some idea if you're a regular follower of the Whalers.
Well, now Brackenberry and Selwood want to go, and here they go, Brackenberry and Selwood. Brackenberry gets two right hands, Selwood wrestling him now, 15 feet inside the line. Here's Butters, sneaks a shot on Plow. Bill Butters,
from behind. That's all. Here comes the bench.
They all jump on the ice.
Both benches emptied, Al Smith involved, players fighting everywhere inside the Saints zone. Everyone paired off for TU now in Carlson. Two players wrestling down there. It looks like Hank
Slabin, Bob. I'll tell you, that's one of the
most... Can you pause it for a second? Alan Hangslaven became a friend of mine later
on.
When, and I skated with Alan Hangslaven with the Washington Capitals alumni. So it was like when I met him. When I met him, I was like, this was a childhood memory of mine. And I met the guy. And he was the sweetest guy. We ended up being
Did you mention it to him? Did you mention it? Did you mention the fight to him?
Oh, absolutely.
And was he into it?
I mentioned that. He was one of the sweet. He is one of the sweetest guys.
That's great.
I'm not sure what he's doing now, but a sweet guy. But he wasn't that night.
Gentlemanly, sneaky, just plain rotten things I've ever seen. Butters came from behind, came up behind Plow, and cold cocked him from behind.
Larry Plow.
Smith and Garrett are at it. Hank Slabin has somebody down, Landon, and
Slabin's hurt, Bill. They're calling for the trainer. And now Gambucci and Hurley, who are wrestling at center,
the
come
names.
Up. And now it's Smith and Garrett fighting. Wild
Two
scene
goalies.
Here at the Civic Center as players in sticks and gloves all over the ice. The irony of the situation is Selwood and Brackenberry, who started it all, are now kind of just hugging each other at center ice, dancing around. But you're right, Bill. The despicable act by Bill Butters, sucker-punching Larry Plow. And now, here we go. We still got Smith and Garrett involved with Busnick and Ricky Lee, and Landon's out there with McCartan. And here we go again. It's
Smith and Garrett.
Piece of Garrett. But Garrett hasn't taken off his mask. And now Nick and Carlson come together. And now Nick wants Carlson. That's obvious.
This may be the main event. He was just holding off, holding two Saints, one in each hand. Oh, Carlson just cold cocked Nick.
Oh, no.
And Nick comes right back at him. Here they go. For TU and Carlson. Look at them slugging each other.
And down here in the far right hand, Brackenberry and Selwood still having some comments, still taking some swings. It looks like Saturday night at Roseland in New York. Everybody's paired off. All the good guys in white and the other ones are in blue. And linesmen, now Frenchie and Hampson are going at it. Selwood and Brackenberry. Bob, you watch the left-hand boards. I'll watch the right, and we'll just kind of override each other. How about that?
Well, now Butters and Swain are going at it. And Fred Smith now flailing away at Garrett. Right hands by Al Smith on John Garrett. Carlson and Fatia were separated. Nick's face is bloody. We've got a wild scene here in Hartford. And the irony of it all, look at the two trainers, Joe Altot and Glenn Gostick, just calmly chirping at the line. Selwood and Brackenberry finally get rid of each other. We've got cups and sticks.
Nick is cut, and he's going right to the box after Carlson. He shrugs the linesman off, gets spun around, and now both linesmen are in front of Cavotillo. He's going into the visitor's box if he can get there, Bob.
Well, affable Bill Henderson, the Whalers director of minor officials, must be counting his breath down there because he's got Carlson in there and an angry Fatio and a cut Fatio wanting at Mr. Carlson. But as we suspected, Glass Bell let this get out of hand. It all started, and now Butters and Swain, and Smith wants a piece of Butters. Look at Al Smith against Bill Butters.
He just rides him right out of the play, too.
Smitty
kills him. Smitty has really laid it on Butters, and Butters takes another right hand. Now O'Donnell is into it.
And Fortillo comes up on Butters, and now Brackenberry and Swain go at it. They go into the well at this Saint penalty bench. There's just mayhem out in the ice. Fortillo racing it after Brackenberry, and now Carlson out of the penalty box. I've never seen a fight like this in 20 years. Now
right into the players' bench in the Saints players' bench. There is a battle like you wouldn't believe. Fotiu and Carlson are down on the floor on the players' bench, Bob. You got to get up here to see it all. Well, we hope to send soon cooler heads. And now fans throwing beer down there. I hope they don't get involved in that because then it really will get nasty.
Stop it, Dad.
I don't know. Alan Glassbell better get out his pencil. He is going to have his hands full, and there's still fights breaking out everywhere on
breaking
the ice.
Out.
I've never seen a scene like this, Bill, ever. I've seen many a nasty brawl, but never one as vicious and as long as this one.
That's your
there
fight.
It is.
Wow.
There it
is.
And by the way, I played the record so many times at home in my little house that I used to, it used to have a nick where he says, get spun around. And so you would hear, get spun around. Get spun around.
Yep.
Get spun around. Get spun around. It was
have to tape a penny to the tone arm.
I will tell you the cool thing about that is if, first of all, the Mike O'Mara show in no way condones violence. But I want to say that the quality of the play by play. Yes, it was a horrible, nasty, thuggish brawl, but the quality of the play-by-play is some of
the energy.
It's like almost a textbook on how to be a great sportscaster.
Full energy for almost 5 minutes. I mean, that's tough work right there.
Really, really amazing.
Like Roseland in New York on a Saturday night.
Do you feel like what's the longest a fight could go in the NHL in today's NHL?
Oh, my God. First of all.
You're lucky, like a minute?
First of all, I'd like to count the number of bench clearing brawls that you get. I don't think you get it anymore. And they'll let guys go, but as soon as one guy goes down, that's it. It's over.
Yeah.
The reason these fights would get out of control is there are only so many referees, and they, you know, there's certain guys
control
that
some of these guys.
You're not controlling them, and that's what happened with this one. But at
and
the
it
end
wasn't
of the,
exactly a big money league.
Yeah, it wasn't a big money league, and I think the penalties were somewhere in the neighborhood of 20 minutes of penalties which was the record for it. And it's insane. It's insane.
The idea that you were there is crazy.
I love it.
It was kind of cool.
I think I heard you this time.
I was the one whistling.
That's it.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with more fun and more thrills. This is the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody.
Ho, ho, ho!
Was that Santa? Oh, boy.
That's right. It is I, Santa Claus. And what would you like for Christmas, little boy?
All I ever wanted was to laugh, but it's just too hard to give someone the Mike O'Mara bonus show as a gift.
Ho, 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 ho! Wrong! Thanks to a little bit of Santa's magic and a whole lot of gin, it has never been easier to give the gift of the bonus show. All you have to do is ask Mommy or Daddy to go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus show banner to get started.
But Santa, I'm an orphan.
The Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Because 5 hours still a week just ain't enough. Always available at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Santa thinks that's so funny. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show.
Great read from my son, though. Almost like he imagines being an orphan already.
It's the best time of year for a great cup of coffee. Yeah. There's something about the holidays that makes a cup of coffee taste even better, especially if you're drinking trade coffee. Trade partners with 50 of the best roasters in the United States and features over 400 unique coffees that they deliver right to your door. Even better, your coffee roasted only after you order it. I love this part. So it's going to be the freshest coffee you've ever tasted. Trade has the coffee you need. And if you're a coffee novice, never fear. Just go to drinktrade.com. They have a simple 6-question quiz and a magic algorithm.
Ooh, here comes Butters.
And what they do, they will match you up with the perfect coffee for your palate. Perfect coffee, perfectly matched to you and as fresh as can be. Perfect is easy at drinktrade.com. Officially endorsed by Santa Claus, he likes it with his cookies. Trade Coffee is so excited to give them a try. They're going to knock 50% off any bag of coffee you like when you place your first order. Just go to drinktrade.com and use the promo code TMOS. Remember that promo code TMOS and you get half off a bag of coffee on your first order at drinktrade.com. And we thank you. All right, I've been meaning to ask this all week, and I might as well get to it right now. What do we want for Christmas, boys?
Do
you want for the holiday? I know what I want. What I want, I'm not going to get.
What do you want?
It's too big ticket an item. If all things were equal, What do you mean?
Let's live in reality for a second. What would you want realistic?
Trip to Legoland?
I don't need anything realistic.
Better hotel at Legoland?
Realistically, I don't need anything. What do you think of that? Okay, Mr. Scatpicker.
How about
Mr. Shuffle your papers around while I'm trying to read a commercial? What? What do you want?
The only reason he has papers is I gave him
the papers. The papers. The papers.
Show me your papers.
Yes.
I'll do it. Go ahead, Oscar. Talk.
Look, as a New Yorker,
you should also look at your phone.
I would want this. Well, I'm just texting Pony so he can do his job. What do you want me to do? Thank you. Thank God. What were you doing looking at your phone?
What's that?
What were you doing on your phone?
I was thanking our guest.
You can do that after the show, not during the program.
All right.
What is wrong with him today? What is wrong with
you
him?
Come
it's
at me,
not
bro.
Just today.
I'm going to come at you.
Yeah, he's like a crab right now.
Why is he in a bad mood?
He's walking sideways on the dock.
Is he still fighting with his wife? What's
going
on?
I don't know. Is the marriage okay?
We weren't fighting. That is normal, commonplace arguments with my wife. Mm-hmm. And for that asshole that wrote on Facebook, TMY, that he doesn't like the misogyny, grow the fuck up. This is a comedy show.
All right, let it out. Let it out. Go ahead. I didn't know.
And Rob
obviously
is not a racist. If you really thought he was, then you probably shouldn't listen to the program. Move along, sir. Have a nice life.
Someone thought I was racist?
Yes.
What a jerk.
I got one right before we went on the air, and it was not nearly as egregious as you being accused of being a misogynist or Rob being accused of being racist. Mine was, oh, my God. I'll have to look it up. It's really
Can I elaborate on what I just said to this gentleman?
He probably thinks I'm fat.
Well, obviously, I sense some tension today.
Well, no,
you.
There is no tension.
None.
All right.
What I want is this, is I want to believe that our listenership, the reason why they listen, is they effing get what we do for a living.
Right.
Which is shtick.
Which is shtick.
Mm-hmm. When you're doing misogyny,
yes.
I am around you when you're, let me just say this. I am around you when you're around your bride and you know, you two are very much into each other.
She hung up on me on the show. Did you miss that program? Did you see me go crazy about that? A true misogynist would have done something, I imagine, and be like, you can't embarrass me, like, man. Who cares?
Right.
We do a fun show.
That's right.
So this douche goes on our fan club page, and you should have seen me. I was like, well, I'm going to address this. I'm going to address this by typing back. And I said, you know, I'll do this on there. It'll be much easier.
Yeah.
We do a fun show. If I was that much of a monster to my wife, while I am demanding, we wouldn't be married anymore. That's the facts.
And if
Rob was truly a racist, we wouldn't have jobs anymore. That's the facts.
So when
you write within your post that just like we asked Rob to stop being a racist, you should stop being a misogynist. I don't know what happened to you in your life where you're triggered by me just doing some shtick with my wife that ruins your day. But don't take it out on us.
Well, here's a
Facebook.
For me, this is a mellow one. Let me give you
very
this.
Good. Oh, okay.
This is 1 hour before we come on here.
Right.
If it's poorly written, so I'm going to try to explain it, Philip Stamper, since you didn't write it very well.
Oh, okay. Names.
But your trolling post was not well written. If Florida is filled with crazies, and a line slowing older population, what is the most, quote, Florida thing about Mike O'Mara? Now, that is a classic. Let's put a troll post out so people can throw darts at me. That's fine, though. It's innocent. It's not egregious.
It's a soft sell, but he's looking for attention.
Yeah.
He gets one comment. All right.
And that's the
one
great comment, your post was, Philip.
And the one comment comes from Dave McIntosh, who writes, his utter confusion about technology, which comes out as anger. Florida is full of old people mad at technology. I don't understand why he says I'm so angry all the time. Hey, Dave McIntosh, kiss my Irish ass. Thank you. Thank you very much. But you know what? I'm tweaking it up because it really didn't. It doesn't rise to the misogyny.
If someone
level,
doesn't know how to use a comma, they're not qualified to insult you.
But would I be accurate, since we're venting right now, since you brought it up, Oscar, would I not be accurate in saying, as we approach Thanksgiving holiday, Christmas holiday, the lonely, the disenfranchised, the angry get very, very vocal because
like
they're
not graph this.
Happy themselves.
You could graph this on the bottom corner of a USA Today. And you know what? It happens in small doses throughout the year on Fridays. Remember, this goes back to when we were on the radio. Friday, we would get our angry, lashing out calls because they're starting to realize, I've got 2 days of sitting at home smelling my fingers. I got nothing to do. And so they're going to lash out. But when it gets to the holidays, that's the ultimate
I
there.
I don't know when this this gray area of everything offends everybody.
Right.
It spilled onto our fan club page, because if you're part of the fan club, I made an assumption, made an ass out of myself by thinking that that area is a place where people understand what we effing do for a living.
Yeah, but it is also an area that is populated with people that are on all of these fan clubs, yep, that want to throw darts. Let me say that right after the Philip Stamper one, which was a very sort of ham-handed attempt to troll me.
Right.
I will tell you this. There was the great one, and this is the one that might be my post of the month.
Nice.
It comes from a lady named Betsy Crawford Pateta, who on December 16th at 7:24 writes just this. I've got one last pimple from going steady with you. Ah! Don't know whether to break it or leave it alone. It's the only one I call my own. Ba-doo-bee-da-ba-doo. Seymour, hold on. I didn't hear it. Thanks, Mike O'Mara. It's been rattling around inside my brain since Friday. I love
that's
that
great.
Post. That's my favorite post.
I wanted
to acknowledge the good.
That's using Facebook for the right reason.
As long as we're airing our grievances and clearing the deck.
Oh, God.
Let me add this.
What?
Yesterday, you might have heard briefly that Pony Boy Bloom had 200 outstanding emails in his queue for customer service.
They heard that because it's what he said.
That's right. Yeah, because
several times. And you might have heard the gasp of air where all of us on the team, Rob, Mike, and I said,
right,
oh my God, your average is 200 emails, and your right, average is 2 days behind on customer service
stunning
emails.
Yeah. Especially with the way we promote him. Yes.
It felt like opening the door on a jet plane. It was like all the pressure was reversed.
We do a lot on this show.
Yeah.
And I've always assumed, and I think you guys probably did as well, we have always assumed that particular element of our little operation
is tight, right?
Is that because of the size of it, that we stay ahead of it?
Yeah.
And it stunned me.
So we broke through that malaise and actually finished a program. There was a point where I was going to unplug and just walk in there and figure out what's going on. Because I thought, I was like, man, how are we 200 emails behind?
Yeah, it's stunning.
And as I mentioned to the team, I was able to connect with Pony after the show. And Pony, because, you know, he's not built for broadcasting. He's built for
speed.
No, he's not built for speed. He's built for
comfort.
He's built for data analysis. God bless him.
Right.
Nice and slow and methodical. We all have our strengths. I said, Pony, is it 200? He goes, it's actually more like 30. I just saw the 200 number, and most of those were emails that, you know, were confirmations or receipts. These are all like spam emails that come back when somebody gets their package, mm-hmm, or a sale comes through. And I said, Pony, when you said 200, we thought there were 200 people waiting in the queue, and then you doubled down and said, this is your average. If there's only 30, that makes more sense.
And for someone who specializes in data analysis, Pony, you missed it by 85%.
Now, we can't belabor this point, but I said, when in the show did you realize it was 30? Because I, like an eagle eye, looked over and you were going through your emails. I felt like something was happening.
Yeah.
Because this is how I got them. I said, but be prepared to stay here with me until we finish these 200 emails. During the show, I mentioned that to him.
Oh, that's his kryptonite.
And that's his kryptonite because he wants to get home desperately.
Yes.
So I see him right away diving.
Is he really?
Oh, yeah.
He likes to get out of here.
That's
what he's excited about.
Well, you work with people's strengths and weaknesses, and I knew that he wanted to get out of here. So as soon as I told him, he'd start doing the job. So I see him methodically. And you can tell when someone's looking at the computer and just like clicking off. And I go in there and I say, okay, when did you realize in the show that you only had about 30 left? He said, well, near the end of the program, I realized a lot of these emails were just kind of bulk emails that come in through our system. I said, did you ever think of just texting me and letting me know that so we could clarify and put a button on the whole situation?
Legit.
He goes, I didn't want to interrupt the program. And I said, that is not the case. You made us look like monsters.
Right.
And then
right,
you sucked the air out of the show and you didn't want to own it up. So I said, tomorrow I'm going to have to come on the air and clear the air and say, no, we are not a rickety business that's about to fail. We actually have 30 emails, not 200 pending. And for those of you that were actually pending.
30 that were all responded to yesterday.
Taken care of. Yeah. Now.
Let me just address this one since he's bothered me a lot.
Yeah.
All right. Hold on just a second. Brian Ellis has not gotten his fruitcake. There you go. That's the minutia of the. I've mentioned it before. Do we know that name, Pony Boy? Brian Ellis. Brian Ellis said to me, sorry to bother ye, but I still have not received
straight
my fruitcake. I wrote you, Rob, Oscar, and Pony earlier this week, and Rob a follow-up a few days ago, but nobody answered. I am a loyal listener and a purchaser, and yet ... This is sent to me on December 6th, 2018, 8:51 a.m. I respond, I will address it with the guys today, Brian, which I did. He said, thank you so much. Hate to be a pain in the tookus, as I am a loyal fan.
Tookus!
Very, very, very kind, respectful, the right way on. He's communicating. I said, no problem at all, and thanks for the support. Tuesday, he writes to me, not to be a pain in the tookus, but still no fruitcake. I wrote last night, mentioned you specifically to the guys, and I know they followed up. So now I'm following up.
Okay.
What is the status,
Pony,
of Mr. Brian Ellis, who is now not only behind the scenes, but on the air.
Yes.
Occupying this valuable space. Woo! What is the deal with Brian Ellis?
He got his fruitcake and he is happy. We got him taken care of, a while ago. I got to look through my records.
If he got it a while ago, then why did he write me on Tuesday and say not to be a pain in the tookus, but still no fruitcake?
This past Tuesday?
That was Tuesday. Yes, that was yesterday.
Okay.
At 5:41 p.m.
A cake was sent out to Brian Ellis.
When?
That would be... probably last Friday.
Okay.
It was last Friday.
Okay, so it could take anywhere up to 5 days.
So the answer would be probably that, Brian, if the cake was sent out to you, you should be receiving it. I have followed up, and you let me know personally if that's not the case.
Yes.
And now we've eaten into my valuable news writing time.
You've made me late enough.
Tomorrow on the show, we will discuss our Christmas gifts.
Yes.
And our wishes.
All right, but Oscar, did you get it all off your chest?
I feel great. Thank you.
You feel good? Yeah. See, it's helpful. I do it all the time. We'll take a break, and we will come back with more fun and more thrills on the Mike O'Mara Show. Serious. I'm not kidding. It's therapy.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
Political Persuasions.
Hey, it's Chris Frantz with Political Persuasions. This week, Mike and I answer the question, is the falling stock market President Trump's fault? The answer may surprise you. Plus, Mike accuses me of whataboutism again, and I predictably get a little excited.
God bless the United States.
You can download Political Persuasions at politicalpersuasions.com, iTunes, Stitcher, and wherever fine podcasts are found.
You like the fighting? Tune into a Political Persuasions this week.
It's a jaw dropper.
It's a big jaw dropper. Yeah, it's great. We do it. I think I may do it with him better than I've done it with anybody in my career.
Certainly on air, yes.
Brief tip in from Chris Wrights, just as far as the show is concerned. I don't usually get a call from Chris till after the programs are over because he knows our schedule.
Right,
right.
Mm-hmm. Chris texted me around the 8 o'clock hour, I would say 8:15.
Sure.
And he says, are you up? Which means, hey, let's connect. So I call him back at 8:30. And I said, hey, man, I'm calling you back. He's like, you've got the worst timing. I said, you just called me at 8:15. He goes, now I'm on the set, on a shoot. And I said, okay.
Boo,
you just
called
me at 8:15. Is everything okay? He goes, yeah, I just wanted to connect before the end of the new year. I said, I heard you guys had a spicy show yesterday. And he goes, yeah. Do you think people are going to be into it? I said, our listeners are going to love it.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
I like it when he yells.
Yeah.
And looking back
it when
on
I'm
it,
not the one screaming. It's fantastic.
Yeah. Well,
the thing that was so remarkable about it is how it came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
There was no build up to this. Just was, boom.
Yeah.
You're going to love it.
I loved it.
I can't wait.
I hope I am still, it's only been a year, I'm still new to him, but I hope he loved it as much as I did.
Yeah.
I mean, I look back at it and I kind of grin with pride. That's my personality disorder. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Did you know that Dutch children put out a Christmas shoe instead of a stocking?
Did you?
It's true.
No.
Also, the Dutch Santa is very stern and strict and not jolly at all. But who can blame him? Hauling tons of crap to put in shoes all over the Netherlands? That's bad duty. Santa would prefer all the selfish Dutch brats ask for the TMOS bonus show because it's easy to give and it's great. Great.
Great.
Great. Just go to MikeOMaraShow.com, click the gift bonus banner. Boom. Three more clicks and your holiday shopping is done and you can go back to smoking a bong full of mistletoe in Amsterdam. Ho, ho, ho. It really is an amazing gift for anyone, even yourself, because it keeps giving all year long. The TMOS Bonus Show. Remember to give it this holiday season. It gives access to all of our bonus content, and you'll be helping TMOS. And it gives Santa the break he deserves. Buy the bonus show. It's a real Dutch treat. Thank you. Thank you very much. Oh, that's right. Let me bring this up. There it is. And now, ladies and gentlemen, news.
News.
And I like the boo.
Yeah, I like
the
boo.
I love it.
Don't let the naysayers get you. Penny Marshall died of complications from diabetes on Monday. She was 75. Penny starred as Laverne on Laverne and Shirley, and she also directed Big, A League of Their Own, and Awakenings. I forgot that she directed that. She's a phenomenal director.
Really great.
Really a second career for her after she was a sitcom star and part of that great family. They're both gone now. Penny and Gary are both no longer with us. Very, very funny people. Naturally, it wasn't long after Penny Marshall's death was announced that the tributes began pouring in. Here are the highlights. Ron Howard, who was Happy Days, he was on that show with Penny, said, quote, "She was funny and so smart. She made the transition from sitcom star to A-list movie director. Interesting that two of the great directors of our time came out of Happy Days."
I feel it has a lot to do. I feel it has a lot to do with Gary Marshall. Actually, I think there's a commonality there.
He was probably a bit of a mentor for them. Anyway, all that, always relaxed, funny, and totally unpretentious. I was lucky to have known and worked with her. Henry Winkler said, quote, "She was so inventive, so funny, and so warm. She brought her own unique brand of humor to what was on the written page. Watching her playing Laverne, I remember thinking, wow, she's just created the 20th century Lucille Ball." Tom Hanks, who starred in Big and A League of Their Own, said, quote, "Goodbye, Penny. Man, did we laugh a lot. Wish we still could. Love you." So, bye-bye, Penny Marshall. Great career, and she will be missed. We'll miss her. Forbes just put out a list of the celebrities with the most money in the bank. I told Gilbert Gottfried earlier about this one. Here are the top five. Number five is a tie between Jay-Z and Kylie Jenner at $900 million. What are you looking at? What are you nodding at?
A bunch of people walked through with Rob Ford, so just saying hello.
Oh. Hi there. Like a sex parade.
Yeah.
Is there a speaker outside where they can hear us?
No, but they can go in the control room and they can hear us.
Right.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Just, I'm curious sometimes.
Or you could shine the light of a donut in the sky and Rob Ford comes running.
A tie between Kylie Jenner and Jay-Z, both $900 million. Can you believe that?
That's a lot of money.
Michael Jordan at number four, $1.7 million. That seems like a it should be a
billion.
Yeah, that's a typo. Number three, Oprah, $2.8 billion. Steven Spielberg, $3.7 billion. And bringing up the top, my kid's into him now, ladies and gentlemen, with $5.4 billion, George Lucas.
Hey! Woo!
That gets it to Dom.
Kid's totally into it. They've got those characters at Legoland, the Star Wars.
They should take about $400 million away from Spielberg for making Ready Player One.
Oh, really? Terrible.
Just a small penalty.
What, you didn't like that?
No. And it's one of those, it's like those Lego movies. It's too fast and frenetic and crazy.
How did you not like that movie? It was fun.
I thought it sucked.
I did not like it.
Generational thing, I guess.
Yeah. Well, you know, what might have helped it? Subtle thing. I don't know. A story.
Here's a stress-reducing breathing trick for the holidays. We could all use this, okay?
Yes, please, Mike.
Because it's going to get stressful during the holidays, even on this show.
What?
Step one, breathe in through your nose. Then with your lips pursed, do 10 to 15 sharp half-second exhales through your mouth. So that's... too much time. You should make a shh or an oomph sound with each one, like the sound a boxer makes when they throw a jab. Push from your diaphragm and flex your abs with each breath. It should almost feel like a light ab workout if you do it right. Step two, close your eyes and take a series of slow breaths. Breathe in deep through your nose and out through your mouth, but don't let your shoulders move up and down with each breath. Let your stomach expand instead. Do that a few times. Try to slow your breathing down a little more with each breath, and you're done.
But if you don't have abs?
If you don't have abs, you're screwed. A guy in the UK named Owen Williams is blowing up on Twitter right now because of something he posted about his neighbor this week. Ken Watson recently passed away at the age of 87. Owen says he was a sweet guy and everyone loved him. Even Owen's dog loved him. He was also an interesting guy. Their local paper did a story 2 years ago after he wing-walked on a plane at age 85.
Damn! Wow, Daniel.
Anyway, Ken's daughter knocked on Owen's door on Monday. She was holding a big bag, got pretty emotional, and said the bag was full of presents. It turned out that before Ken died, he bought Christmas presents for Owen's 2-year-old daughter, and not just for this year, he bought enough gifts for the next 14 Christmases.
Wow.
Damn. Owen showed the bag to his wife, and they both teared up. Now they're trying to decide what to do. They're going to space them out over the next 14 years, but they can't decide if they should unwrap them first and choose age-appropriate gifts or just do it randomly. Owen took a poll on Twitter. 69% of people think random is the way to go. What say you boys?
I say random until one of them is like a bottle of scotch. And then maybe open them up.
Well, you got to account for the time value of money. Technically, you could take all 14, return them, get as much money as possible, and reinvest it, and then see where that those dollars go, and then get her a present from that.
His soul is full of gadgets, exactly. Ladies and gentlemen. Yeah.
And now, if you get an iPad 4 6 years from now, it might not even work.
This is true. Now a little something.
You make a good point.
And so warm and fuzzy. Police in Florida say a 23-year-old man went through a McDonald's drive-thru and tried to pay for his order with a bag of marijuana.
Yeah.
News outlets report Port St. Lucie police.
Hey, where is that?
That's north of West Palm Beach and south of Melbourne.
I can almost picture it.
The worker denied the trade at the fast food joint at the McDonald's, and Anthony Andrew Gallagher drove off, only to return again a short time later. Police arrested him on Sunday on charges of marijuana possession and driving under the influence. Ooh. Police were alerted to Gallagher's offer early Sunday morning and got a description of him from the worker. They say a suspect matching his description went through the drive-thru a little later, and police approached him. It's unclear if Gallagher attempted to pay for his order with drugs for the second time. It's also unclear if he has a lawyer, but it is clear that I can give you the latest Florida slogan of the day, which I haven't done in quite a while.
Oh, so there's like a new slogan for the entire state.
Well, this one had to be written. It just jumped off the page at me. Florida, where stupid never takes a holiday. Thank you very much.
Very good.
You want to buy a burger with weed. We'll take a break and come back with the Audio Vault and Rob Spiewak right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
I'm dreaming of a Mike Christmas. I just bought the TMOS bonus show.
That's it. Back to you, Mike.
Why the puss?
Sometimes I just like to think about it. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Tis the season, and when you think of holiday shopping, look no further than Walmart.com. Not only does Walmart.com have everything that your local Walmart has,
especially the most recent gift that I'm having delivered from Walmart today that I got from my little guy. It's going to be a good Christmas, but Mom's not going to like it because it breaks one of her rules.
If you need it, Walmart.com has it. You can go through Mike O'Mara's show to get it. That'll definitely put you in the holiday spirit. Us too. No crowds, no hassle. Just point, click, and buy and support TMOS. Make sure to access Walmart through their banner on our website.
No membership fee.
No.
You can't miss it. Just click through at MikeO'MaraShow.com and shop like you normally would. Cost you nothing. Means the world to us. Walmart and TMOS. It doesn't get any better than this. Let's open up the audio vault for today. Wednesday, December 19th. And what is it? Like, 14 days? Till Christmas?
6 days.
I think Christmas falls on January 10th this year. Oh, so
I got
lots
it wrong.
Of time.
I better hurry.
You're going to be sorry. You mentioned the passing of Penny Marshall. Great director, great actress. But I did not realize this. She has a historical significance in the world of television in that she was the first guest star on The Simpsons.
Oh, wow.
Season 1.
Do you have the clip?
Yeah, episode 13, she played the babysitter bandit who was going to break in and actually do harm to Bart and Lisa. Here is Penny Marshall as the babysitter bandit.
We know who you are, Ms. Butts. Or should I say Ms. Butts?
Batsukowski. You're the babysitter bandit.
You're a smart young man, Bart. I hope you're smart enough to keep your mouth shut.
He isn't.
Now, what's so great, you think of all the guest stars that have been on The Simpsons in the past 20 years or so, she was the first.
And she probably wasn't an easy get.
I wouldn't think so, no.
And she was still,
you know, that she directed Awakenings, and Awakenings was the movie that I used for my father's eulogy.
Oh, no kidding.
Pretty amazing. Really, really, where I say there is no drug more powerful than the human spirit. And my father was on medication for so long that that was a big part of that. It's a little connective tissue there, but I had no idea she was on The Simpsons, and very, very funny. Not a huge Laverne and Shirley fan, but a massive fan of her movies.
I met Shirley here.
Yeah, we had Cindy Williams in studio, and she was a wonderful guest.
Yeah. She was terrific.
And there was a lot of friction between them. There's a great story in Gary Marshall's biography where he used to bring his kids onto the lot where they shot Laverne and Shirley and Happy Days. And he was taking them to see Happy Days. And the kids said, "Can we visit Laverne and Shirley?" And Gary Marshall said, "No, there's fighting there. People say bad words there. Let's go to Happy Days."
That's funny. Very, very funny.
But yeah, she had a lot of great laughs from her, so we shall miss her. And too soon. Steve Perry, because people will not let Journey die or anything that ever was associated with Journey, has come out with a new Christmas song. I don't know if Mike's going to blow it up. Let's see. Here's Steve Perry.
Someday soon we all will be together. If the fates allow.
Over singing it, don't you think?
Until then, we'll have to muddle through somehow.
Can't blow it up. The talent's too there. The voice,
his voice is
too
great.
Pure.
It's, but I don't like his interpretation.
Let me listen to this part.
Have yourself a merry Christmas. Have yourself a merry little Christmas night.
I like it.
I like his voice.
I'll tell you what
I like about it.
I like about it. There's so many hacks that do it. There's so many that do it. He oversang it, but that's what he does.
I guess you're right.
I mean, that's okay. The talent is there. You know what I like? It's the same reason I like Lady Gaga. It's the power of a great instrument.
Here.
There are not many people that have it that can just belt it out. And he can do anything with that instrument. He can do anything with that voice. And I'm curious. It's like listening to a great musician play when I hear that.
He can do anything except stay with his friends.
Yeah, because he's not. He was a prick to the people in Germany.
He was, but they hired.
Ross Valerie told us that.
But they hired
Buddy Rich
Filipino
was a prick too.
But
I love to listen
fine.
To him play drums. That's
but if you want to hear another great song, this is a song that's built on one grunt that Will Smith did.
A triple A lister, number one mister, best of the best, damn popping like a blister. Will to the SMITH, still looking like his MIBH. Lover, father, barely a father. YouTube stop, but he made it.
Freaking love it.
Family, how do I? Family,
that's I'm sorry,
jam.
But I love
this
it.
This was for creators, but now it's for my good man.
Will Smith!
Ignore the dislikes, they're all just haters and jealous. They're not.
So that's the Will Smith grunt song. If you Google or search Will Smith grunt on YouTube, you can watch the whole video.
Oh,
I thought
I
it was
love
very
that.
Catchy.
That's great.
Oh, a bad day. Hey, Mike, for a really nice guy, it turns out Les Moonves is not going to get any money. And I feel so bad because, you know, we used to work with the guy, good guy.
Yeah, you know what? I'm sorry. A culture of slicky boys from top to friggin' bottom.
And you know, it's
said that from day one.
And you know it's bad when the evening show on your own network takes this dig at you.
You'll recall that Moonves left CBS after allegations of sexual harassment and assault. CBS investigated the claims and determined that Les Moonves will not receive his $120 million severance.
Crowd!
Wait, hold on. I think our network has the perfect sound effect for this.
So, sorry, Les. More music and less Moonves. Now, Dick Van Dyke, it has been 54 years since he made the original Mary Poppins. He had a dual role in it. He played Bert the Chimney Sweep, but he also played Mr. Dawes, who was the old banker. And it turns out he had to beg Walt for that part. He had to pay Walt to play that part, to play the old man. Yeah, turned out to be one of the better parts of the movie. Well, now the new Mary Poppins movie, I think it's called Mary Poppins Returns, opens on Friday.
Yeah, and I read the thorough review. I love Rolling Stone reviews.
What was their take on it?
A little syrupy, sugary, but they say the performance is, it's going to make you happy. That's the gist of it.
I've never seen Mary Poppins.
You must watch the one before you see the sequel.
Yeah, I like the new things.
You know, it's nostalgia through the whole show today, but my mom took me to the original.
Oh, great film.
And so I've got a lot of nostalgia for that. And,
Julie Andrews, bonable.
Let me ask you.
Always raining, right?
Manuel Miranda. Do you think he will reprise that he will be ever performing in Hamilton again? Will he go back to Broadway?
He's going. I'm happy you mentioned this. He's going to Puerto Rico, and he'll be performing there as Hamilton.
Really?
Oh, God.
And it's going to be a fundraiser of fundraisers. He's going to have a residency down there.
My prediction is this, is that he will.
I'll go.
Fly
to Puerto Rico.
They'll make a movie of it, and he'll play in the movie, of course. But also, I think he'll come back every 10 years or so the way Rex Harrison did for My Fair Lady, because he defines the role. So that's my prediction.
And they say he's great in this too, so it's getting good reviews.
But this is cool. This has this is the original movie, Mary Poppins, and Dick Van Dyke, who plays Mr. Dawes' grandson in the sequel, and it's amazing. His voice still sounds the same after over half a century.
Chim chiminy, chim chiminy, chim chim chiri. A sweep is 64. As lucky can be. Chim chiminy, chim chiminy, chim chim chiri. We're off when I shake hands with you.
I may be circling the drain, but I've got a few steps left in me.
So when life's a real piece of pie, you must choose to be a trooper, or your
95.
Life comes with a lifetime guarantee. As you trip a little like fantastic. With me,
That's the new one?
Yeah, we've had a lot of lucky breaks in our past quarter century together, Mike, but I think we both will say that when we met Dick Van Dyke, it was magical. Voice in person, that's really cool. I'm glad to see he's still getting it done. Now, it seems the show has been Larry King heavy, but I can't not play this. We're going to close with this. This is from Larry's new internet talk show, and he has one of the most talented comics working today. His name is Ben Schwartz. Ben does a lot of improv. He's a regular on Comedy Bang Bang. Very, very funny guy. And he's also the voice of Sonic the Hedgehog in a new movie coming out. Now, this is pretty good get for Larry, except for one thing. Larry isn't really up on what Sonic the Hedgehog is. Okay. And this interview goes in a way I didn't expect. We close with Larry King and Ben Schwartz.
Okay, what's Sonic the Hedgehog?
Sonic the Hedgehog is based off of a video game from 1991. I believe that's when the first one came out. And it's about this hedgehog that can run really, really fast. And as a kid, it's like one of the most iconic video games of all time. And now they're making a live-action movie. So the fact that I get to play Sonic is like...
Live action?
It's live action. Sonic will be CG, so I'm just playing the voice of that. But everybody else, like Jim Carrey, plays the bad guy, and James Marsden is in it. And so.
But you're animated.
Yeah, I wasn't good enough to be a human being, so it's just my voice.
Hedgehogs are interesting, though, aren't they?
I can't wait to see where this goes.
What kind of voice does he have?
I can't say it yet. They're not letting me talk. It's very secret. This is a very secret.
If you wanted to be Sonic,
tell me, what do you think a hedgehog would sound like?
I have no idea.
I got to hear it loud. You got to take a leap. This is your 150th episode.
How long?
That's great.
Hello, I'm just a hedgehog. No one cares about me.
Okay. That's great. That's fantastic. What if I lost my job right then?
Hedgehogs are interesting, right?
He's so polite.
Go.
Mr. Schwartz is very polite.
He was very kind to Larry, so big thumbs up to Ben Schwartz.
Nothing against Ben.
What is CG?
And that was worth the price of admission. But wasn't Larry talking about how he was going to get LeBron and all these other people on?
Meanwhile, all of his guests now require two sentences of explanation.
I'll take Gilbert Godfrey with the stork joke. Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
That's your magic audio ball. Have a great Wednesday, everybody.
Another one in the can. Thanks for joining us for another riveting episode of the Mike O'Mara Show. If you have a message you'd like to hear in our Tuesday mailbag, send it to Rob with two B's at MikeO'MaraShow.com. Remember, we'll be doing it after the first of the year. And the TMOS bonus show makes a great gift even for yourself. Just go to MikeO'MaraShow.com. Click the banner that says gift. Bonus, you can't miss it. It's like a holiday tree. Hey.
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 It's easy as pie, just as tasty. Please support TMOS. For Oscar Santana and Rob Spiewak, this is Mike O'Mara thanking you for your continued amazing support for the best part of your day, The Mike O'Mara Show. 30 emails, not 200. Bye-bye, everybody.
GilbertGottfried.com. So long.
Ciao, ciao.
This episode of The Mike O'Mara Show has been brought to you by the TMOS Shopping Center. Remember, especially during the holidays, the next time you need anything from Target, Walmart, or Macy's, make sure to shop online and access them through the banner at the top of MikeO'MaraShow.com. Thank you, and happy holidays.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Okay.
Okay? If you think you make my f***ing life any worse, you go right ahead. Be my f***ing guest. Take a shot.